holy crap, we've got a working platform. Everything is going well. Kai and Marcella were both online before me, so that's like a huge win. I'm really thrilled. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for Seat of Your Pants. My name is Jay. I am one of the owners of Why Not. This is our podcast. Joining me, as always, is the lovely Mistress Kai. Say hello, Kai.
Hello, hello, sexy people.
Great to have you with us. And you've joined us for, I believe, our fifth episode now of Seat of Your Pants. We have got Marcella on board as our guest this week. And I will just leave it to you two ladies to kind of get this party started. That's me being lame.
That's what we do. Right, Marcella?
Yep. Yep.
I think I would like to welcome Marcella. I'm going to have her tell a little bit about herself because I don't like to speak for people, but I do want to say she is my sister co-host on a thing we call Ask a Dominatrix Anything, and we mean anything, every week on Clubhouse. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific time. What's the time zone?
10 p.m. Eastern.
10 p.m. Eastern, yep. So we do that every week. People come from all over the world and ask us questions. And she was once a in-person practitioner of the seductive arts, and she has moved online quite successfully. And I'm just going to pass it off to her and let her tell us about herself.
Hello, I'm Marcella Alonso. I'm a content creator. You can find me on IG at Marcella Sobella. And currently, I use the platform of Sex Panther and OnlyFans. Right now, currently, I am online for all your BDSM needs and fetish fantasy as well.
Nice. And how long have you been in this racket, Marcella?
Oh, the adult entertainment business?
Yeah.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Since 1995.
Wow. That's 26
she's like
years.
OG, you know.
Yeah.
I'm OG really in this OG. Business.
You're more OG than myself, for sure. Kai, it's debatable because she's been in it for a long time, too.
That's just saying Kai's old.
Ah. Hey, you said it, not me. But you know what? There's something to be said about carrying battle scars and having, you know, perspectives of times when the industry was such a freaking radically different place.
We were just talking about that, how our perspective on things is very different than, you know, this next generation or generation and a half that's sort of coming up behind us. We definitely see things differently, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you both started at a time, and I mean, me too, where people had to actually pay for everything. I mean, you got a few seconds of the free stuff, and you know, there was no COVID, there was no anything that would really get in the way of you being able to do your job, other than
computers. No, no cell phones. No, if they had some of the stuff that they have today, when I started, I would have been a millionaire. I would have been a billionaire. Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. I was just thinking about that the other day because I remember, you know, I would walk from the train to one of the adult stores. I would pass it by every day. And there was only this little, I think it was called like the City Paper or something like that. And they would sort of cherry pick adult stars. And there wasn't a lot of ways of promoting yourself. And I remember all the girls going, how do we get in that magazine? Now, nowadays, anything you want to know, you can just look online. And I always, looking back now, I'm like, the women who made it, like, they must have worked so hard because it was so much harder to reach people. You know what I'm saying? People can't see my hands, but so much harder to get out that outreach out.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody had email back then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was late to get on email. I don't think I had an email account until like 1998 or something like
that.
Wow. Yeah. I was putting that shit off over and over. I mean, it was just like, I was always scared of technology when I was younger. It was just like, I don't know about this future stuff. I didn't even get my first CD until like 1994, I think.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I'm like, fuck this shit. It's vinyl. That's what I'm doing. I don't care. And everybody's like, CDs, it's the future, man. Because I mean, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to upgrade everything that I've already been doing for like the last 15 years at that point, you know? It's like I had all these records and I'm like, what, really? Now I got to buy like CDs and I got to get a player. I just didn't like it. You know, I was already a curmudgeon before I could even be, you know, old enough to be one. So, yeah,
for sure.
So like, can you tell us whereabouts you would be practicing all of everyone's BDSM needs, Marcella? I mean, pretty much here in the States?
They can reach me at talktomarcella.com or join ilovemarcella.com, actually. On Sex Pamper, they can do video calls, they can sex with me, or they can even call me.
I mean, are you doing like in-person sessions? Is that going on?
No, I've stopped since the pandemic, like altogether, and I've sort of enjoyed being online more than anything else. I actually, the irony is way before the pandemic, I stopped seeing people. It wasn't that I stopped seeing people. I was using a site called Night Flirt. And this had to be, when did I get on it? 2012. In 2012, I got on Night Flirt and I found that was the way I was screening. And, instead of getting people in person so much, I started using Night Flirt a lot because I had to supplement my income. I just couldn't survive off just a couple people, you know, whatever I could get. So I kind of got on in the online game way before the pandemic. So it kind of prepared me. And then when the pandemic hit, everything just like grew and intensified. And I was very, very scared of this virus. I was just, when I get sick, it's bad in my lungs. So I didn't want to risk it at all. And plus I was in Manhattan during the whole pandemic. So I saw the worst of the worst, like this COVID is real, you know? So I really dived online and I've been there, you know, will I see people in person in the future? I don't know. You know what I mean? I am going to Exotica in Miami. I am going to Exotica. And then, so, you know.
You know, Marcella, and I think we probably have talked about this in the past. There's a huge misconception with in-person domination. And I've seen this over and over and over again through the decades where people think it's easy work. Oh, I'm just going to put on a corset and pick up a whip and pew, boom, the money's going to roll in. But it's so niche. And a lot of in-person practitioners that I know have done the route you have, where they have had to supplement with online work. And when abouts did that dawn on you that, okay, this isn't good. Like, it's so much harder than it appears to be.
Financially, like I couldn't get the appointments, or then you started dealing with flakes, people flaking out. So when I got on Night Flirts, if somebody wanted to have, let's say they're talking about a cockhold session and they're talking about it for 20 minutes, you know, at least I got that a little bit of money on from Night Flirts if they flaked. So that was my way of sort of screening, know if anybody. So I started doing Skype and Night Flirts back then. And because it was so hard to get people, you know, for me, it's always been hard to get people in person. So
that's it's a tremendous amount of work. Like it's so much work.
And the marketing is a lot of work. And
the marketing, the screening,
the screening, they flake, you know what I'm saying? I've noticed with BDSM, there's more flakes and more than anything else in all of the in-person.
I mean, what would you say is like the flake factor, like 50%? I mean, you know, it's ludicrous for
way
anyone to
that.
Think that this is like easy work. It kills me to think about that because there's so many different components. I mean, when you just look at what you're doing, you know, in person alone, you know, never mind the marketing, never mind the flake factor, never mind the fact that, you know, you're going after new clients all the time and trying to retain your old clients, you know, there's so much involved in it. So it kills me when anyone seems to think that, you know, it's easy or something. So it's more than half, huh? More than half.
Okay, so let's say you get 100 contacts, whether it's email, phone calls, some people were doing text messaging. I think this number, it might shock people, but I'm going to say 92% of that is not going to work out.
92%, just that little extra over 9. So 10 people, 9 of them for sure are not going to show up. And that last one, it's like, yeah, he probably will.
There's so many levels of it not working out where It's not going to go past that first email. It's not going to go past the first phone call. You're not going to get a deposit out of them. If you get a deposit, they still may not show up. And if they do show up, they may be bad. They may not be a good, and you might pull the plug right. Like, there's so many layers to it.
To all the people that, you know, are listening to this episode, what can you do, I guess, to minimize that? I mean, does the funnel stop when the money is discussed?
Well, for me, I've noticed when I was doing Night Flirt early on, a lot of people, they get kind of the rocks off just talking about it and not fully going through. For instance, I had a guy that was always in to see come eating instructions, okay? And he would call me all the time and Night Flirt. And one day I get this appointment and I recognize the voice. And then at the end, I'm like, oh my God, it's him. And then I said something like, oh, okay, here we go. And he didn't want to follow through the cum eating instructions. I was a little disappointed because I was ready for that. he was calling me all these times through Night Flirts, but never, you know, so it's the excitement of talking about it that gets them off, you know?
Yeah, we have a very low in kink, and this is not just professional work. This is kink lifestyle. I see it there as well, where the fantasy is significantly more powerful than reality, because there's a lot of things going on with it transitioning to reality, you know, fear, shame, and then that, you know, that lore of what you have in your head is so much better, more often than not, so much better. So we don't see a lot of conversion in kink. We don't see a lot of conversion, whether it's lifestyle kinksters or pay for play. So we see a lot of that backing out. That's why online, I always recommend everybody go to online. That's where you're going to make your money, because they can dabble. They can go as far as they want within the parameters of their fantasy, and it's safe for them. They're never pulling the trigger and having to actually do this in person. I mean, of course, they take, you know, steps forward into their fantasies, because, you know, you only get your endorphins and your dopamine so much, and then you got to go a little bit further. Right, Marcella? Like, you see a progression, even especially with the online guys.
I know this with online, I make triple than what it would be in person. And one thing about me, because I sort of do have the lifestyler in me, there was a point where I was getting frustrated, and I was getting frustrated sexually because I was dealing with these flakes not coming through. And I was like, I would get excited. I'd be like, oh my God, this person's coming through. You know, you, when you really enjoy your occupation, you get excited. And then to get disappointed, you're like, oh God.
It's like orgasm denial that you didn't pay for.
I said, I understood, right? I understood the blue balls, why men go through blue balls because of screening for BDSM, because that's what would happen. You know what I'm saying? And it was disappointed. So I, when I do, and another thing about me, with BDSM is I like people that are into it, that they know what they like and what they don't like. Because I feel like it'd be a form of rape. If somebody told me, you know, I'm not really into strap-on play, then I know not to do strap-on play. You know what I mean? Even though that's something I really enjoy, I won't enjoy it with that person. So that's something that's big with me.
Yeah, I mean, BDSM is all consent-based. You can't do anything just because somebody's like, oh, I'm kinky. That's right. Not an open door to do whatever you want to that person. You know, our fundamentals are every single thing is talked about, and nothing occurs unless that person has explicitly said, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want to engage in. A lot of people, you know, they don't make that connection, but there's nothing without consent. Her and I were talking earlier about some of the people always ask us, right? They ask us, oh, what's the most extreme thing you've done? What's the most brutal thing you've done, or the most gross, you know, they want to know all the horror stories. And I said to her, why don't we flip that a little bit and talk about some of the more, not that they're brutal, but maybe funny or screw ups, because we screw up, and some of the more lighthearted things that we go through with like in-person play. And then if you have any online stories, we'd love to hear that too. So she shared one with me earlier. I think it's a little funny. Can we hear about that, please?
One thing I love is I love wax play. I love it. Hmm. I enjoy it so much. But one time I had a sub and he wanted a little bit of CBT. So I was
pouring wax. Cock and ball torture.
Cock and ball torture. And I was pouring wax on his balls and I, by accident, he had long pubic hairs. One of them caught on fire.
Yes.
I told you he would love this story.
You should have had him fart so we could blue flame it.
I was really, really worried, but then, and it smelled bad, I remember, but he enjoyed it. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, like, do that again. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. Like, because it literally got on fire, like, he burned himself and everything. And because they were so, yeah, that's one of the crazy stories.
I couldn't wait to see Jay's face because I wasn't sure if he was going to be like, oof.
The only thing that I really cringe about is like when stuff gets inserted into the dude's pee hole. It's like when that kind of shit happens, it's just like, no, you don't, no.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I call it getting milked. It gives you a really powerful orgasm.
His face.
Yeah, I'll pass.
It gives you a really powerful orgasm. And a lot of men are now finally being comfortable with themselves that they enjoy something in their ass. You know,
the ass is one thing. I'm talking in their pee hole.
He's talking about like sounding.
Yeah, not the ass.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm talking like in your pee hole, not your asshole.
Oh, in the pee hole. No, no. Oh, okay. In the actual pee hole.
Yeah.
Oh,
unless,
yeah.
Unless you're with dudes that are actually pissing out of their ass. I mean, that's unheard of. Unless they got, you know, a diet of like spoiled food.
No,
it's a whole different niche.
Now. Yeah.
I've had a lot of, it's funny. The people who want sounding, I've seen either have a big, huge penis or a very small penis.
Hmm.
And I don't know what that's about psychologically, but a lot of big penis dudes want sounding. You know what sounding is, Jay? The metal poles.
If I say no, then I pretty much give away that I'm not a big penis dude.
I never like to do medical play or sounding. I personally never, I never liked medical play or sounding. One thing I've noticed with medical play, the people that enjoy it, usually as a child, were in the hospital a lot.
I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah,
I've seen that correlation.
I guess I'm going to have to confess. I have no clue what sounding is. So yeah, that removes me from being a big penis dude. But also, I wasn't in the hospital a lot either as a kid. So I'm not going to know about that either. You know,
we're just going to go with little peepee.
A medical play could be something as little as I've had one sub that he wanted to be like, you know, the doctor inspection where you go around look at. So medical play doesn't have to be full on. You know, enemas and everything else. Actually, Tara was the one that taught me. And I said, oh, no, I was gagging. I went to class for medical play. But I've had a medical play where it's basically the body inspection. You know, that's cool.
Well, I mean, I have considered myself in the past to be an unlicensed gynecologist.
So, Jay.
Yeah.
We were talking.
Okay.
And I've sort of decided that I'm probably going to get a lot of enjoyment out of torturing you a little bit.
Okay.
And so now you just sit down, little boy, and be quiet and listen. So I think what I'm going to do with this podcast is occasionally with guests, and I'm never going to let you know who, but I think we'll try to play some kind of game.
Nice.
Yeah. So we were wanting to talk about BDSM stuff just to watch you and get your reaction to things because, you know, you and I talk a little bit about stuff, but I don't really know where you fall on things,
okay.
What you like, what you don't like. So I said to Marcella, why don't we play a game with Jay called Would You Let Us?
I'm ready.
And we'll just, I don't know, I guess we'll make up things on the spot. Would you let us do blah, blah, blah to you?
Okay.
Oh, look, he's all serious.
Yeah, I'm ready. And I mean, you know, are you going to like move forward with it, I guess, as well? I mean, it's one thing to think about it, and then it's one thing to actually, you know.
Oh, you may. Walk. you may want us to do these things to you. Oh, okay.
Awesome.
So that's a whole... we'll wait till we turn off the record button.
Right. No, no, we need to leave it running. There is no editing. Everything stays.
Oh, that's right. We fly by the seat of our pants.
No freaking editing.
Oopsie, well, I forgot.
We gotta live by these words.
Okay, we're all dirty and messy.
I'm ready. Lay something on me here. This is exciting.
Okay, so we'll just start with something very easy.
Okay. Would you like to be smothered?
I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just dirtying up a little vanilla there.
I'm pretty vanilla, but yeah.
Now, smothering does not include you get to stick your tongue up the hoo-ha. It's you're being deprived by a booty of oxygen. The booties, you would do that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it obviously depends on who, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. So would you let us tie you down and tickle your feet, tickle all parts of your body?
Yes.
You're okay with tickling. See, I thought for sure you're going to be like, no way. Nobody's fucking tickling me.
Oh, it would drive me batshit. But that doesn't mean no. Yeah. No, that would be cool. I would dig that. Yeah.
I am going to psychologically profile you today, I think, with these questions. I'm going to have a whole kink profile for you.
You know me pretty well already, but yeah, mm-hmm. This is like the final frontier.
Yeah. Okay, Marcella, what do you think? What else should we throw at him?
Would you allow us to put restraints on you and flog you a little bit? I enjoy that.
I mean, yeah, it depends, I guess. I mean, is blood going to be drawn?
No. A little sensory deprivation never hurt anybody.
Yeah, then yes.
I mean, you do know I'm sort of known for my flogging skills.
Oh,
I've
seen you in action. I've seen you doing the whole, you know, cross over your arms and like this and that and everything. It's like, yeah, you're extremely talented with that shit. And I know that stuff, you know, it's just if you keep it rhythmic, it's going to start hurting, but then it's going to start getting better and better with each.
It's going to hurt so good.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that. But
you know, you want it to hurt, it doesn't necessarily have to hurt. However, let's be clear, everybody, I can make it hurt for sure.
You could put me in.
Flogging can feel real good. Different floggers have different sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So far you haven't crossed any lines with
me. We're not scaring you off.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, let's turn the knob up a little bit.
Okay.
Would you?
Sorry.
I mean, I'm so fascinated, like seeing his facial expressions and hearing how he's answering, trying to figure out if he's telling me the truth or not. So, would you let us restrain you? Now, we're not always going to be restraining you, but I think you're kind of naughty and you probably have to be restrained. So, would you let us restrain you and do some cock and ball torture by way of a riding crop hitting your cock?
Mm. Oh, yeah, no.
There's the face.
Yeah, Not happening.
What about a little candle wax?
Depends on where.
On your ball.
We're talking about your
probably
cock.
Not.
Your cock.
Yeah, no. I think that I would draw the line on that. Chest, stomach, back, ass, sure. But my junk, I got to draw the line on that. That's a hard no.
Okay. Boo. I had a submissive, I shouldn't say had, I still, he's been with me for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he likes me to use the same riding crop I use on my horses, which is dirty because, I mean, horses are dirty. They roll around in their own shit all the time. So horses are dirty, but I use that riding crop. He gets his penis erect and I'm like, kablamo, kablamo. I could go as hard as I wanted.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like, and I remember in the beginning going, wait a minute, you like what? I did like a little.
Well, let me ask both of you here. I mean, do you like working with dudes who love like just being completely trashed, like pain, all that?
I enjoy it when they want it, like when they come to me and they're requesting stuff, like,
okay.
You know, like. They're, you know, I do enjoy submissive men, when they do come through and, when they have, and I like the communication and the consent part, like,
sure.
Yeah.
But I mean like guys being trampled, guys just having blood drawn, you know, just constantly.
For me, I have a weak stomach, so I can't see blood. That's one. I've always had a weak stomach. So certain, for me, I like more of the psychological stuff too. I enjoy cross dressers very much. I understand the psychology of that. The sissy sluts.
See, I'm a very different animal on this. So,
how so?
I like to hit things. Yeah. You know, I love kickboxing. I love hand-to-hand combat. I just like to hit things. So that very easily translates into kink. But I don't just like to go around throat punching people, you know, in kink. I enjoy submissives who are into impact play. That's called impact play. So I enjoy that because it makes me feel good. And if they're enjoying it, of course, but I'm not going to pick up play at a party and be like, come here, motherfucker, kapowie. You know, that's not, but I enjoy impact very much. Whipping, flogging, spanking, but that's just like, you know, a part of my kink enjoyment repertoire. But yes, I do enjoy those things. I mean, it's not like I am like, oh, I enjoy giving men pain. By no means. It's all very, very consensual and desired on their part.
Well, let me ask you this, Marcella. At what age would you say that you realized that this is a lifestyle that you definitely wanted to pursue, even before maybe you were too young to realize it?
So I started dancing at the fresh age of 18. And I remember I had to be maybe 19 years old, and I met a lady that had, it was a service, and she had two different types of calls. She had some vanilla calls, and then she had another call, like a set of calls, and she was my friend of mine, and she kind of introduced me. She goes, hey, she goes, none of my girls want to go on these calls. And I go, well, what happens? What, do I have to have sex with them? Or what's going on? She goes, no. She goes, let me take you to one of the regulars who was a preacher.
Oh my God.
This is not an uncommon story, you know, about these occupations.
Right. I'm sure.
Yeah. She goes, this is the thing. He likes to be tied up. He likes to be humiliated. We stick something up his butt and then we leave it to them, but we need to leave. She was like she was stressing the importance of let it be where he could eventually get out because he, at the end, he likes to be like, so we did it. And like, I just had a blast. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this for the rest of my life. So she brought me in, this girl, and she was no way of a dominatrix at all. She just had these set of clients. And she was showing me, like, in the end, you know, this is how you type, but make sure so he could get out because that was this whole thing of escaping. And then we walked out. And sure enough, he called me back. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, right then I fell in love with it. And then I had another customer one time, tip me $200 if I could bring out my makeup and do his face, full face, like my face. And I enjoyed that too. And that's kind of the first time I discovered about crossdressers. And I remember doing his face and I was like, God, he's got such pretty features. I said, you look so pretty. And he goes, oh, I do. And he enjoyed it. And, then right then and there, that was my, like, that was the beginning, you know, when I realized. So it was 19 years old when I first dabbled in it, and I was already a stripper. And I think it's hereditary because when my father passed 2 years ago, I happened to find nipple clamps.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, my God.
I got nipple clamps, and actually, I still have them because those were the nipple clamps that I actually needed.
Right.
So I was like, damn, I need these nipple clamps. They were my father's, right? And then I told my sister, and my sister's very square, very vanilla. And I said, I found some nipple clamps. And she goes, oh, you don't know what happened to me when I was 14 years old. I found all my dad's BDSM stuff. So my dad was a dominant. So I don't know if it's hereditary or what, but
possibly. Yeah,
it was very much, of course, if he was alive, I wouldn't want to talk to him about it. It'd be quite embarrassing.
Sure.
You know, I think it's in the blood, you know. My younger daughter, it was crazy. My younger daughter during quarantine, there's boys that always call and fan over her. And she was ordering them to order her Uber Eats and I would get different meals. And I go, where are you getting this money? And she goes, this boy got me this, and then this boy, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a
I love
you got
it.
Yourself a little findom there.
I know, right?
Yes, she's a little bit of a findom without me. And I tried keeping this child very vanilla. So she was already like, there were boys that she knew of that were sent during quarantine when she was stuck in, you know, doing, she's graduated now, but
right.
She was finishing her classes. She was like, I'm hungry, mom. And I'm like, well, we have this. And the next thing you know, I'm like, where are you getting the money for this Uber Eats? Like, what was this?
You know what? She's got a good hustle going. And I mean, that stuff carries you through for a long time. Because I mean, I was doing hustling of my own when I was a teenager in different ways, which the show isn't about me. So I'm not going to get in detail about it. But, you know, this is stuff that's carried me through most of my adult life. You know, you learn and you build on it. So, you know, kudos to her.
Yeah.
You know, your story about nobody wanting those types of clients back then. And Marcella's heard me tell this story on our Clubhouse. That was sort of my experience. That was my first professional paid, which is, I mean, we're talking like 1989. I was running the brothels in Philly. And back then, even in a major metropolitan city, you were lucky if there was one working dominatrix that, I mean, there may have been others, but to find her, it was difficult, you know, to find her. So, you know, gents would come in and they didn't want sex. They wanted this psychosexual, experience. And this guy comes in and, I could hear on the microphone in the other room, they were all like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And I came out, I'm like, what's going on? And here he wanted his erect penis slammed in a car door. And I've told this story a few times. And I was like, oh, okay. And one of the girls said, yeah, he's got like $1,000. Like he, and in 1989, of course, $1,000 is a lot now.
Dude,
in 1989, I was like, pfft.
It's like life-changing money back then.
Yeah. So I was like, what's the problem? So I'm like, come on. Downstairs we went. I'm like, let's go. Boom. Slam the door.
How do you not sustain permanent damage?
I would not do that now.
Oh, my God.
But I was a youngster, and I was like, oh, $1,000, and should not have done that. I would not do it now, but... I don't know, but he was back. I know because I heard he was making the rounds. He was in my other clubs and my other places. And I was like, all right, buddy, you know. So that's sort of the same along the same lines. And I know for a lot of us OG type gals, we all have stories like that where other people didn't want to do. I've heard plenty of dancer stories where gents come into the club and they want some type of BDSM experience. And one of the girls, you know, work in the shift.
Oh, I was doing golden showers too before anybody else did it. And God, I did it so many times in the club. Or like, oh, you want to buy my pee right now? And go in the bathroom, come right out. Here mm-hmm. you go. Get it right now.
Yeah. I mean, urine is a hot commodity in clubs because it's so easy. You know, it's when you just go off into the bathroom and boom, there's a golden shower or... You know, you pee in a cup or whatnot. Yeah, I know. I love these stories.
Would you ever eat asparagus first just to, like, you know, fuck them up?
I mean, sure. I would do something like that. I'd be like, oh, sure. You want my urine?
Oh, God.
Okay. And, you know, it's just a little bit of a clobber on, you know, on the down low. He gets it and he's like, oh, this stuff smells like shit. Like, why not? And you know what, Jay? The truth of the matter is.
Yeah.
The psychological fuck you of that would probably have him call in the next day.
Well, yeah. I tell you, this has been extremely educational.
Like, hearing about depravity.
I mean, I realize more and more that, like, I'm about as boring as fuck when it comes down to it all. But you know what? Different strokes for different folks.
No, I mean, you're up for our kinky stuff. You're not boring. Yeah, you just don't want the extreme pee-pee stuff.
Within reason, of course. Well, reason. Everybody's got, like, reason. So it's like, you know, within reason really doesn't mean jack shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are coming to that point where I think we need to get Marcella's contact information again and say goodbye to our adoring fans until next time. But as well, we've actually made it without one drop off. Like, knock on wood, we managed to
keep knocking on wood, though. Keep on knocking.
Seriously. Yeah.
I sort of like to drop off mid podcast. What, the two in a row now?
It's something like
disappeared.
That. Yeah. Right? It's just like, you know, I think Squadcast got their shit together, or I don't know. Maybe we're just lucky, but I'm very thrilled. So I'm not going to jinx it. Marcella, please tell everyone again how people can reach you, do business with you, and be a fan of you.
You can first follow my IG at MarcellaSobella.com. Marcella Sobella. And then I do have a main site, MarcellaSobella.com. My OnlyFans is I Love Marcella. And then if you'd like to do a video call, chat with me, or even video call, chat with me, or even call me, talk to Marcella.com.
And Sobella, spell that, please.
MarcellaSobella.
So just like it sounds, perfect.
And she's also doing, every Sunday night, you're doing live shows, right? On Instagram?
This week I have another dom on there, Lydia Supreme out of Washington, D.C. She'll be my guest this week. On my IG at 6 p.m. Eastern, I don't know Pacific time very well. I have my show. It's Marcella's Sunday Fun Day Show. So it's just I have different people on there, comedians, you know, not just people from the sex industry. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this podcast, Seat of Your Pants. I'm Jay from Why Not. Joining me as well, again, is Mistress Kai. And thank you so much, Marcella, for joining us this week.
Thank you, Marcella. I love you so much.
All right. Thank you again, Kai.